And this morning I am sharing with us, we're going to learn together and explore a scripture together this morning that was read out. And 2 weeks ago when I was here at the end of worship, I felt like God had given me the scripture as an exhortation for us as a family. And then he gave me a little bit more at the end of the service. And so that's why today I'm going to share a little bit more, but actually we're going to do it together. I'm not a preacher, but I am a teacher. So I'm going to give us some questions to think about. And if you're comfortable with this, talk about it with the person next to you. Maybe it's your husband or your wife or your kids. I want noise in the service today, and I'm not going to do all the talking. I want us to go away from this with some new things and some things to apply, not just to listen to it and think that's a great idea, but actually what can we do about this? What can we do to change? To be listening to the Holy Spirit as I share, as you listen to someone else next to you, to learn from him. What does he want to say to us today? It's a dialogue today about relationship. And as I was sitting here this morning and as I was getting ready this morning, I was just thinking, you know, relationships and relationship is actually the foundation of the kingdom. The Trinity existed before all time, no beginning and no end. And the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a relationship. First and foremost, that's the foundational basics of everything. Then we are made in his image. We were made for and made out of relationship. It's very clear in Genesis that let us make man in our image. It was the three together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that created us. And another key part, and I couldn't find a word for this, but a key element of relationship is communication. You actually don't have relationship without communication. And communication, I was going to use the word currency, but I don't even know if that's right. Communication is relationship. And there's verbal and there's nonverbal. And we can say a whole lot by our body language, and we say a little bit with our words. So when I'm speaking communication, and when we're listening to this today and thinking about relationships, think relationships and communication. Our relationship with the Father and our relationships with one another are a big threat to the enemy. God's kingdom exists on, runs by, the very substance of it is relationship. So the greatest point of offense from the enemy is going to be our relationships. We have a teacher in Youth with a Mission, an old teacher, some might know his name, Dean Sherman. Every problem in the church is a relationship problem, is how he speaks. And he would really, you know, go over the top. But it's true. Every problem we face, if we look at the core of it, is a relationship problem in some form. We've got to get this relationship stuff, and God gives us lots of keys in his word. He gives us lots of things to help us. So the first thing we're going to look at this morning, maybe actually, oh no, you've got, no, actually, let's hand these out. I'm going to give you a piece of paper. Can I have one just to have a demonstration? You've got some hand drawings, some very fine art, and maybe if you keep it and frame it, I might be famous one day, and then you will have a hand-drawn piece of art from Anna Heinrich. Joke. Okay, one piece each, and some pencils will come around. On the back is blank, and this is what I'm thinking. Use the blank bit first, and I will explain the picture in a little while. Okay, the question I'm giving you is, what types of relationships do we have in life? I want you to think of all the different types of relationships. Talk about it with the person next to you. It's not a trick question and it's not difficult. I'm going to give you 30 more seconds. What types of relationships do we have in life?
Yes.
Okay, let's have a little bit of feedback, if you're game, to tell me what type of relationships do we have in life? And some of the kids I can see madly writing, so I want to hear from the children too, and our teenagers, young people. Gary, family relationships. Let's break that down a little bit. What relationships are in a family? Mother and children, husband and wife, father and children, then you have grandchildren, siblings, sister and brother, sister, depends on how many there are in the family. That's like we've named about five or six different types of relationships just within the family unit. What other relationships do we have? Sorry? Blended families, yes. We, and in particular in our day and age, it looks a little different to what it did 50, 60, 100 years ago, and they can be really quite complicated sometimes. Lots of different types of relationships within that. What about other relationships not family now? Pam? Strangers. Ooh, that's, I like that. Relationships and encounters with strangers, yes, and that will look very different to other relationships. Ron? Okay, people that have authority over me and people that I have authority over. So we're talking more of an authority, perhaps boss, teacher type relationship. Yes? Business, neighbours, doctors. So we have all sorts of levels of closeness and distance. What have I got here? Yep, we've got all those. I also had, of course, us and God. Right? Heath? Yes. So with your doctor, it's pretty well one way. Basically, they help you. You really don't, most times, you won't see your doctor and you don't necessarily really help them. They're there to help you. One way. Good. One way, two-way relationships. Animals and pets. Yes, that's true. Actually, I never thought about that, but I've been seeing my sister's dog a lot lately, and it's really quite funny. Yes. Teachers, yes. Authority. Okay, I'm going to stop it there. Authority people. One more, though. Friends, yes. That's another category. So I also put two labels to it. There are contractual relationships, which are far more like our work, our business, where we are relating over a contract or a service or doing something. Then we have relationships, particularly our relationship with God, but it also involves more like our family and our friends. We're to have transformational relationships, to be transformed, not just relating to someone because they do something for me, but that our lives and sharing life and doing life together has a growing, changing, transformational reaction in each of us. I believe families are like that with children. As you teach and grow your children, you don't just give them food, you don't just teach them how to do whatever it is as they get older. There is personality, there is, you respond to your children differently because each of those children are different. How you relate to your friends is different because they're different type. So we're taking into consideration far more about our personality and our makeup. And we are to have transformational relationships. I don't know if this is perhaps the first time for some of you to think about this, but God calls us to grow, to produce fruit, to be fruitful. We are to mature in ourselves, and as a body and a family and a community, we are to grow and to mature. That is transformational. And in my life, transformation comes, whether it's through a conversation with a person or an encounter with God or reading His Word, when I hear it and I apply it, which means I make a response to what I'm hearing. Sometimes it comes and the Holy Spirit, I just know what He's saying. There's a truth moment and I have a decision to make. How am I going to respond to this moment? Is it, yes, Lord, you're right and I'm wrong? Or am I going to ignore it? And I do both. Hopefully I do the listening more. But the growth part comes when I humble myself and I say, yes, Lord, you're right, please forgive me, or you have permission to do whatever. Whatever my response is to the Lord. That's when he has permission and he comes in and he starts to do things. And sometimes we don't know all the little pieces of the transformation, but we see a product or we notice a change in how we react or respond to a situation. And we're like, oh, wow, gosh, that wasn't as bad as last time. Or we just notice we've grown and we've matured, or other people see it in us. Sometimes we see the little pieces of transformation and sometimes we don't. I'm not going to spend any more time talking about that. I felt, said to Milo the other day, I think his anointing of, you know, like I started preparing thinking it was really small and then I just had this massive content, so I've brought it right down again. That's terrible. No, it's good. Okay, next question for you. What are the ingredients of a good relationship? Think of your categories. You can pick one of those categories or all. What are the ingredients? What makes for a good relationship? Maybe for you, you have to think of actually the opposite. What are the characteristics of a really terrible relationship? And then we can work out the opposite. So I'm going to give you a minute or so to look at that. And you can chat. We're a little quieter on this one. But I actually really want us to focus on the good things for this little question. All right, there's little moments. Okay, what I would really love, and I think it's helpful just for me to hear, is just put your hand up and I'll either call your name if I know it or rudely point to you, I'm sorry. And we'll do it that way. It'll make it easier for everybody to hear. So what are some ingredients of a good relationship? Tom. Common things and trust. Ooh, Tom, sorry. Yeah, that was hilarious. That was great. So common interests, trust, Pam, communication, this lady here that I don't know, Lisbeth, what, respect, Murray, honesty, respect, trust, communication, reconciliation, give and take, like sometimes compromise, yes, listening, and our lady at the back, sharing, commitment, treating as an equal, so that is in line with the respect and the value of people. Tolerance. Who? Unconditional. Crikey, we got lots over here. Agreement. Encouragement. Forgiveness. Sorry? Concern. Selflessness. Yes, I had that one down too. Yes, excellent. Communication. Lots of people had stuff. Listening. Looking. Give and take. And that's part of selflessness. Being regular. Being consistent. Yes. Annalise. Love. Yes. I had kindness. For me, kindness is really, really important. I can walk through just about anything with you if we can be kind together. But if there's not kindness, that's one of the things I think that makes it very difficult. And I think one thing that I've noticed, particularly in us Aussies in the room, that we're not necessarily so good at is encouraging people. We're learning, we're growing, and depending on our environment that we're in. But I think of my family in a project I'm doing with my dad right now, and I've been watching and I've been very intentional in being encouraging because it's a big, overwhelming project. And I've been watching what's been happening as I am encouraging. It brings life. It's not something he's used to. He's in his late 70s. It's not something that he was ever raised with. But the encouragement keeps us moving forward. It builds positivity. It's gratitude. It's all of those things. All right, let's look at the opposite. We possibly don't even need any time with this. And again, I might not get to all of you. But what? Have a little think before we respond. And I want you to get creative and lateral with this. What are relationship killers? Have a little think for a moment. What kills relationships? Now, of course, we're probably thinking more intimate relationships, closer relationships. They're the most important to us. But there are principles that affect every type of relationship. So let's think about what are relationship killers. Just a moment. Technically, I'm out of time, but can we keep going? You're okay if we keep going for a little bit? Okay, I promise you'll be involved. All right, for the sake of time, if we had a week, this would be great. We could really explore things. But what are some killers? What immediately comes to mind? Hands, sorry, hands, just it's very Western, I know. Yes. Disrespect. Lies and betrayal. Disagreement. Unproductive criticism. Very key, because there's good forms of criticism and input. But it's when it's really negative and really unproductive, yes. Unforgiveness. Impatience. Sorry, that's okay, Carol. Do yours. So you're not actually listening. So really just not being willing to listen to someone else. Gentleman at the back. Pride, yes. And that comes in many forms. And that's our biblical word, you know, our understanding pride. And it looks different and it comes in many forms, but yes, pride. Greed. It's a bit like selfishness, isn't it? The selfishness and greed. Yes. Manipulation. Control and manipulation. It kills a relationship. Ego. Self. Self-centeredness. Arrogance. Yes, which is in that line with pride. Adultery, loss of love, yes. Miscommunication, yes. Not listening, not understanding. And then when pride gets involved, what happens? Offense. We get offended. And then sometimes we get offended on behalf of somebody else because we're really upset at what happens with them. Oh my goodness, people, when we get offended, we are in a spiral that goes down, and who do you think wins? Seriously, it's really hard to be unoffendable and to be unoffended. It's probably one of the most difficult things to be. But if we can be, and the Lord would exhort us to be unoffended as he was, it preserves relationship. Lack of trust. I'm going to pull this there. Now, it was interesting. I've sat for a little while doing this, and I had written my original notes, and then all of a sudden the other morning I woke up with some more. What about time wasters? What about this? I was out to dinner with my sister and the two children. My niece and nephew had a little day out the other day. It was lots of fun. We're at a restaurant, and the couple next to us, he was one side of the table, she was the other side of the table. And we were just watching and observing. These gadgets are a real blessing. But gosh, they're time wasters. Facebook, social media, Snapchat. I mean, we have a lot of fun with Snapchat with my niece and nephew. I don't really know what's going on, but... Oh, terrible. That's dangerous too. What about the TV? Just endless. I mean, there's other time wasters too. I hadn't even thought of that one because that's not in my world. But yes, maybe sport can be. Again, all of these things in and of themselves are not bad. But if it gets in the way and it overcomes our life, or it prevents relationship, then they are relationship killers. Yes. Negativity, unbelief, gossip, criticism, offense, mistrust, listening to lies and believing them about yourself, because that affects your relationships and about others. What about this word, workaholism? And here's the opposite, helpaholism. Were you so busy helping people? Where you gain everything from your life from helping people? It's similar to workaholism. Helping others is not a bad thing, but when you're driven by it and when it affects your relationships with your family, perhaps because you're so driven by that being a helpaholic, or that it's affecting your own life and you're not well, and you don't know any boundaries, then yes, it is a problem. Just like workaholism is. It's a good thing, taken too far is no longer a strength, it's a weakness. Working hard is really good. Helping people is really good. Take it too far becomes a problem. The scripture for today, Song of Songs. I looked up a number of different versions and I looked up some Bible resources to get a little bit of understanding, to see if what I sensed from the scripture was in line with what others have researched very smartly. And it seems like I was on the right track. First of all, in verse 14, my dove, if it's possible, Tom, to put the scripture back up, actually. Sorry, I don't have any PowerPoint, but that'd be helpful for people. Thank you. My dove, this is the pursuer in the story of the Song of Songs. This is the lover, the man. My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside. Show me your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. What, as you listen to that poetic, those poetic words, what is the picture and the feeling you get from this scripture? Gentle, serenity, longing, kindness, relationship. It's like calm. Like there's such encouragement in these words. It's a lover talking to his beloved. It's relationships, the most intimate of all relationships. It's right here. And there's lots of ways of interpreting this scripture, but what I want to take from it today is that this is talking about relationship with the Father, with others. There is this sense, particularly from the Lord, of wanting to be drawn in. And who does not want to be loved like this? I want to be told I'm lovely, that my voice is sweet. It's normal. I think it's normal for all of us to want to be deeply loved and to be drawn into this relationship. Then the next verse, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. The message says, come my shy and modest dove, leave your seclusion and come out. Let me see your face and let me hear your voice. Your voice is soothing and your face is ravishing. And the woman says, then you must protect me from the foxes. Foxes on the prowl, foxes who would like nothing better than to get into our flowering garden. New King James, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. What is the meaning? I'm going to read you something that I saw, that I found on the internet. It's interesting that there's this picture of the fox with intimate relationship, with this communication. Back in the day, Solomon's readers considered foxes to be destructive animals that would destroy valuable vineyards. And as the Shulamite verbalizes her love for King Solomon, she speaks of the need to catch the foxes that spoil the vines. If the blossoming vineyard is taken to mean the growing romance between the couple, then the foxes represent potential problems that could damage their relationship. She's saying, in essence, let's take preventative measures to protect our love from anything that could harm it. In ancient literature, wild animals were often used to represent problems that could separate lovers. Verse 15, the second one, is a wise and beautiful verse. The vineyards are in bloom. In this case of the story of Song of Songs, it's talking about a romance. But let's apply this to any relationship that we have, friends, parents, siblings, children, people that are important, people even that we don't know. The vineyards are in bloom, and it's preparing to bear fruit. The beloved desires that the foxes be rounded up and destroyed, all the potential threats to this relationship to be removed. And it's interesting that they say the little foxes, the baby ones. It's the little things, the things overlooked that often spoil the things of value. The beloved wants her lover, Solomon, to address and remove all the dangers and obstacles and threats to their love and pay attention to the little things. We have a vineyard. We have many vineyards. We have relationships. God has called us to bear fruit. We are to be productive, beautiful, blossoming gardens and vineyards. That is this picture in Scripture and in a number of places. I don't know about you, but I love when I see a garden that's colourful, or maybe there's extraordinary order and structure to it. Sometimes they're not structured at all and they're just this massive colour. Depends what you like, really. But there's often good smells, and there's some sense of perhaps order or symmetry. But there's flowers or there's fruits and there's things in season. You know, and if you get close and if you are a bit of a gardener, the joy of seeing the new buds come. If you've got fruit trees, this is the season. The little blossoms are falling off. All the green shoots are starting to come out. And where those flowers were, there's going to be a bit of fruit in a little while. Who has fruit trees? Maybe. Who has birds that eat the fruit and you get really annoyed with the birds that eat your fruit? Yeah, exactly. So maybe we need to change this. Catch the little birds that eat the fruit off the tree. The foxes represent the cunning, the quiet, the sneaky little things. There's evidence that they do dig down and that they can attack both the roots and the fruit. And most often grapevines are lowish. They can get to the tender young shoots. Little things ignored grow up and become big things. And I think this is probably the greatest key that I've learnt in my life over relationships. If I miss the little prompting, if I don't go and deal with that little moment, it becomes something much bigger later on. So turn your paper over to the pictures now. And you will see you have a fox and you have a grapevine. Now, this is a little moment for you to do some quiet processing with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit. What are your foxes? What are our foxes? And how do we deal with them? Why would I even ask the question? Why is it important? Because relationship is everything. Relationship with God, relationship with our family, our friends, our housemates, our siblings, relationship in our church, in this room. Relationship is everything. So this is where we come down now from something broader down to the real personal. This is your personal application. That I'm giving you a moment and a chance to sit and do some real honest thinking with Jesus. What are some foxes that would threaten your relationships? And how are you going to deal with them? So, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you'd speak to us right now. It's great having a dialogue and a discussion, but that takes us nowhere unless we really hear from you and are willing to walk away with something. And Lord, we're all in a different place. And I just ask that you would speak to individuals, Lord. I've got no idea where people are at and what's going on, but you do. And so, Holy Spirit, would you whisper tenderly as the one who loves us? Would you point things out? And I ask that not only would you show the foxes, but you would give wisdom right now on what to do. So I'm going to give you a few moments of silence, and I want you personally to ask the Holy Spirit that question. What are my foxes? How do I deal with them? And He will answer you. Sometimes living these things out is difficult. We need to have someone help us, walk alongside us, to encourage us, to pray with us. Sometimes we need someone to speak a no into our life or be a bit of a wall where we need a wall. Sometimes we need that truth that perhaps we don't really want to hear, but we need it in order to grow. Often, dealing with the little foxes is about walking in the opposite spirit, doing the opposite. You want to get offended, you choose to bless them. You want to get angry, you choose to forgive. Thanksgiving, honor. We've talked about keeping short accounts, and what I mean by that is don't let something go on a long time. Church last weekend, my mum said something to me, and I whispered back to her very quietly, but I had an attitude. I knew I needed to ask her forgiveness. And so when it was a moment, I sat there with this, until I had my moment in the service that was appropriate to lean across and say, I'm really sorry, mum, please forgive me. And I knew that it meant something to her. She had felt my attitude. That's keeping a short account. I knew what I'd done, and I knew I needed, and I was committed to making the first possible moment to deal with that. Ask for forgiveness, give forgiveness. And I want to suggest that accountability is absolutely key. I know what I'm like inside when I'm just on my own with my own thoughts. I can justify my way out of anything. I need people. I need accountability, and sometimes I need to ask someone, I need you to be this for me. Are you willing to do that for me? Relationships take planning. They take being intentional, being purposeful. They take self-control, and sometimes they take boundaries and saying no. It's all of these things. Most of what I've said to you today is not new. You would have heard it in some shape or form. But I want to pray for us, all of us, that we would catch our little foxes, that we would be so jealous for our relationship with our lover, with our Father, with Jesus, and with our families and friends. We'd be so jealous for that, that we would quickly catch our foxes and not let them steal from the beautiful vineyard. Heavenly Father, that's my prayer today. I know it's not easy, and I know we mess things up. But I know that you are so for us, and you so want this relationship with us and for us to be in relationship, because that's in doing that, we glorify you, we demonstrate you. You've called us to live this way, to show the lost how to live. We need to know how to do this. Holy Spirit, help us. Firstly, in our relationship with you, and then with those most close to us. Help us get accountability. Help us learn what that means. Help us learn to love accountability and walking in the light, to love forgiving and being forgiven, to love being people of thanksgiving, who would gossip about people with all the good things that they do, who would share good reports and good stories, who would encourage and lift up, who would be quick to deal with the seeds of gossip and offense, who would be quick to put away the phone, to look someone in the eye, to listen and give them time. Help us be really good at relationships, Jesus. Because you're so good and you want that in us and through us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.